From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. On this edition of All Songs Considered, Irish and British folk music. You're hearing the music of Martin Hayes and Dennis Cahill from a new CD called Welcome Here Again. My guests are Myron Bretholz. He's one of the best Irish drummers I've ever heard and someone I first met through the airwaves and a folk music radio show he had in the 1970s here in Washington, D.C. called Summer Solstice. Also joining me, the producer of this show, an intern here at All Songs Considered, Gus Voorhees. Gus and I met at a fiddle camp this summer in Elkins, West Virginia. There was a solid, thriving British and Irish folk music scene in the 1970s. Richard and Linda Thompson, Martin Carthy, the Bothy Band, the list is long, and the tradition was alive as any good tradition should be. But what's happened to that thriving scene? On this edition of All Songs Considered, we look and listen to some recent players reshaping the way English and Irish folk music is played, including the musicians you're hearing now, guitarist Dennis Cahill and fiddler Martin Hayes. Gus Voorhees explains.
His name pops up a lot if you're in the Irish fiddle community, and it's a very, I think a relaxed style, almost sedated.
Myron, good to see you.
Nice to see you, Bob, and Gus too.
You know the work of Martin Hayes as well?
Not only do I know Martin's music well, but I've known him for years, and he's just like his music is. He's very sedate, he's very zen in a way, and he's very articulate.
Who's he playing with here?
Dennis Cahill or Cahill, but the Irish pronounce it Cahill.
And Dennis is playing the...
Dennis is playing the guitar, uh-huh. And I think on this track he's playing in a very sort of minimalistic, I think, and it's very specific to the accompaniment styles of the Irish music in general.
We'll give a listen to some of it. We'll come back and we'll talk about it. This is a live recording. These Irish players are playing in the Irish capital of Seattle, Washington.
Where Martin used to live, actually.
Okay. So this is gorgeous, gorgeous stuff. Do you know the name of the tune here?
Well, this is a tune called Martin Rochford's, and like a lot of Irish tunes, it's named after someone who played the tune. He may not have written it, mm-hmm. And it's probably a traditional tune originally, but a lot of the musicians get their tunes from people who they respect and look up to, so they name the tunes after the people they got it from.
And that guitar was about as minimal as a guitar part can get there.
Martin and Dennis work as an amazing duo. It's not just a fiddle player and a guitar. It's just two people who really can read each other's minds nearly, and they've got a great duo thing going. And while it is very minimalist, yes, it's very much on an equal footing with the fiddle in terms of how they interact with each other. It's a backup instrument, and yet it's very much a part of the music. It's not after the fact, you know.
Mm-hmm. So the guitar and fiddle combination is something, Gus, that... we hear a lot in this kind of music,
yeah.
But in British music, it's not always fiddle and guitar.
No, I think it's more commonly fiddle and button accordion or melodeon. The way it's played is fairly specific to England.
What are you going to play for us here?
It's Chris Wood and Andy Cutting. Chris Wood is sort of one of the guiding lights for English music at the moment. He's been called by a couple of people as the Renaissance man of it. And Andy Cutting is a very continental-influenced accordion player. He plays the English style, but it's got a lot of influences from France and from Italy.
What are we going to hear? What tune?
It's While Gamekeepers Lie Sleeping.
This piece of music, which sounds great, I think I could have easily heard 30 years ago when Myron was playing it on his radio show those Sunday mornings in the 70s. And what am I hearing now that might be different? What's going on?
They're playing the same tunes and singing the same songs that have been played and sung ever since recorded time and before then. So I think it's just a matter of who's playing it now and who adds their own flair and their own personal touch to it.
I think on this track specifically, Andy Cutting's accordion is very modern. The way accordions are built now is not the way they were built 30 years ago.
Okay.
The quality of sound coming out of it is totally different than it was 30 years ago. It's easier to get more expensive accordions and more people are getting them.
And when you say the quality, to somebody who doesn't know accordions, what would they listen for? Is it the brightness of it? Is it the volume of it? What would be the...
Yeah, it's the brightness, but it's whatever you're listening for, I think.
Uh-huh.
There's some very well-respected players who play very cheap accordions and just the sound that they want.
Take us to something which would be different instrumentation here, Myron. The Illan pipes is an instrument that has...
The Illan pipes. Illan is from the Irish word meaning elbow, because they're played by squeezing a bellows on the elbow, as opposed to blowing into them like the Scottish pipes.
I hate to blow into my elbows. It's really hard.
It's a little awkward, I find. Yeah. But Illan pipes go very far back in Ireland, and they are arguably the one totally traditional Irish instrument, as opposed to an import from somewhere else, like the fiddle or the guitar, certainly the accordion. Most cultures have pipes. The Irish version of it is the Illan pipes, and they're a very complex instrument with a lot of moving parts. Jerry O'Sullivan's the pipe we're going to hear on this track. He's an amazing piper living in New York. He's not from Ireland. He's from New York City. And he delved into a collection that hadn't gotten much notice called O'Farrell's Collection of Music, O'Farrell's Pocket Companion, it's called. And he took all these tunes from that collection, tunes which were in writing, which hadn't been recorded virtually at all, and put them on a whole record, and he called it O'Sullivan Meets O'Farrell. And this is a track where Jerry's playing solo unaccompanied pipes, and you'll see it's its own accompaniment. There's drones and chanters and so forth going on. There's a lot of different parts.
And the chanter is?
The chanter provides the melody. It would be almost the equivalent of a whistle, a tin whistle or a flute player.
Let's give a listen to Jerry O'Sullivan.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
What a great sound.
Isn't it rich? Isn't it rich? It's a great sound. It's very melodic, and it's like a lot of people consider the pipes an acquired taste. That's not immediately familiar to the American ear often, like a fiddle might be.
These pipes are easier to on the ear, I think.
Than the Scottish pipes,
you mean. Yeah, yeah.
They are. They're a softer instrument, and they're more of an indoor instrument, where the Scottish pipes are more of an outdoor instrument, you might say.
Two things that have happened so far. We've played three cuts of music. The first one was recorded in Seattle. This fellow lives in New York. We all know a number of Irish and British folk musicians who made their way and lived. Martin Simpson, an old favorite guitar player of mine, living for quite a long time in New Orleans.
California before that.
And California before that. What's the deal?
The cool thing, I think, the very essence of this music is this idea of when someone new takes it, they add something to it. And so there's definitely a bit where when, you know, American artists start doing it, they put in an American flavor, or it's slightly different every time. Mm-hmm. And the farther you spread it, the more influence you can put in. I've heard people, you know, match Irish tunes with old time, you know, and bluegrass tunes and all that from the Appalachians. Mm-hmm. It works. You have all these things coming together, and the more you move it, the more things can do that.
Does a tradition mind? There are some who would say, you know, I mean, we've heard this over the years, it's that blasphemy, or, you know, this is traditional music and it's played like this, but we all know that Irish music wasn't probably played on the fiddle 10 years ago, and the tradition changes.
In any tradition, in any creative pursuit, there are going to be people out there who are self-appointed police, if you will, who say, if it's not just so, then it's all wrong. Yeah. And having said that, there are ways of playing it and ways of approaching it that are more traditional. I don't think it makes them right or wrong. It means they're different, and they progress along with people progressing. It can't be helped.
Martin Carthy has a great quote where he says, "The only thing you can do to hurt folk music is not play it."
And Martin Carthy is a great guitar player. He's still playing and made great music in the 70s. It's the guitar player that I fell in love with in the 1970s. Yeah. He has a daughter who we've featured on All Songs Considered many times, Eliza Carthy, who's got a number of CDs out. And she, of all the people I can think of who I listened to in the last 10 years, who's moved the tradition and made great music that digs to the past but adds to it, she's one.
I mean, her so-called musical pedigree is impeccable. Martin Carthy is her father, and Norma Waterson, one of the great folk singers in England, is her mother. You can't go wrong with those genes at all.
She's a style like no one else, and it's very specific. If you hear Eliza Carthy, you pretty much know it's Eliza Carthy.
And she sings.
She sings
and plays guitar
and plays fiddle.
A fiddle.
And she sings and plays fiddle at the same time, which is something that you don't hear all that often now. It's a little challenging for most people. Her style has a lot of improvisation and a lot more obvious variations on the tune. The track we're going to play is, the style of tune is very specific to England, and it's called a triple hornpipe, and it's in 3-2, which is an odd time signature for anyone to play in, really.
They say there's only three kinds of people in the world, those that can count and those that can't.
Let's listen to Eliza Carthy.
Thank you.
Now, I haven't heard this Eliza Carthy. What album's this on?
It's from Rough Music, which is her latest album. It came out a couple years ago.
I miss that one.
Boy, it's amazing.
Yeah, that is a great cut.
Yeah.
And what instruments am I hearing? It's a really rich tone, which is what's so cool about what she's doing.
I think, two fiddles, a viola, and the melodeon.
Uh-huh. And the melodeon's that
button box. Accordion. Yeah.
Guitar players that have knocked me out, and I've actually seen John Doyle, who's going to be a teacher at Elkins College
this summer. That's true.
Coming summer, and I will be there.
Well,
John Doyle.
John Doyle has become one of the most, I think, influential guitarists, not only to other guitarists, but just to other musicians.
Yeah.
And I wanted to include him here because he's another example, one of a man who was born in Ireland from Dublin and moved here and makes his home now in Asheville, North Carolina. And you were asking before, Bob, about how would the music sound the same as it might have sounded 30 years ago. People like John Doyle are keeping it fresh and updated.
So let's listen to some of John Doyle. Tell me what we're going to hear first.
Jack Dolan, it's a version of the Wild Colonial Boy, which is familiar to most people, but it deserves different interpretations, and this is John's take on it.
Great.
Colonial boy Jack Dolan was his name, of poor and honest parents. He was born in Castlemaine. He was his father's only son, his mother's only joy, and dearly did his parents love the wild colonial boy. He was scarcely 16 years of age when he left his native land, and through Australia's sunny climes a bushranger he roamed. He robbed those wealthy squatters, their stocks he didn't destroy, and a terror to Australia was the wild colonial boy. So come along, me hearties, we'll roam a mountain high. Together we may follow, and together we may ride. We'll wander o'er the valley, we'll get aboard a plane. We'll scorn to live in slavery, bow down in iron chains.
He's astonishing to watch, and I'd say that this is the first bit, well, no, Eliza maybe too, of music that we've heard so far today that I know I wouldn't have heard 30 years ago. Never that guitar style, that playing.
Pretty likely.
Pretty fresh.
I'd endorse that. Yeah. It wouldn't have been thought of to do this kind of thing 30 years ago, and I'm glad it's being thought of now.
It's good music.
It's really good.
Gus Voorhees, who are the Demon Barbers? It doesn't really sound like a traditional band.
I wouldn't exactly call them a traditional band. They're a group from England who have come out with a lot of really interesting stuff. They have two albums, and this one's off of their more recent one. The other one is for free off of their website, which is kind of cool.
Okay, so it's D-E-M-O-N.
It's D-E-M-O-N, yeah.
Spelling Barbers.
Yeah. With a "the" for the website.
Okay.
One of the really interesting things that they have done is they come out with what they call the Demon Barbers Roadshow, where they have taken a bunch of English dance traditions and dance teams, clog step dancing, rapper sword, which is high-paced sword tradition where everyone's in a ring and they do figures and they flip over their swords. It's extremely exciting. And also a Cotswold Morris side, which is from sort of the middle of England and is one of the better known English dance traditions, but no
a more traditional form of dance. Would you say the Cotswold?
They're all very traditional.
So when they perform live, they'll have these dancers doing the clogging rhythm and so forth,
intercut with their stage act, with their actual concert band.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Now in the studio, I assume they don't always do that, or
no.
When they take it in. So what are you going to play for us?
This is called the Ballad of Nep Shaw and Idbury Hill, which is an instrumental break that they have. And it's a Cotswold dance tune, which they played about three times the speed that is danceable to. And they have...
So this is like punk music of folk?
It's got the attitude, if
great.
Anything else.
Okay, let's hear it.
And the men could buy no beer. Two lads went up to the keeper's hut and steal Lord Pelham's beer. Night and liquid in their heads, they laughed, told they'll bound till they wake the keepers off the beds. The keeper to lose their hound. They killed a hog, they killed a hind, ready to carry away. When they heard a whimper down the wind and they heard a blood out bay, they took and they ran across the burn, their crossbows in their hands, till they met a man with a green lantern who called and made them stand.
Do you have any clue where people would hear music like this? Is this theater? Is this a nightclub? Is this?
It's festivals and it's any concert venue.
And would people in the audience who were listening to this, as opposed to the traditional stuff, would there be dance to that music in the audience, or is this something you just go as a concert and listen to the musicians?
There's probably about as much dance as there is at any, you know, really good danceable band.
Okay. When you think of the Irish tradition and the British tradition, is it easy to characterize, if someone were to listen to it, to say, oh, that must be Irish or that must be British?
The thing about English music is that an English tune has a very specific feeling that has a very heavy emphasis on the offbeat, as it's called. So instead of just going, making it straight, it's slightly syncopated. And so it lends itself to hornpipes and all of these things. It also lends itself to be played very slowly, relative to Irish music.
And also, it's a very subjective way of looking at it, but I've heard, and I agree, I've heard English music described as being more squared off, where Irish music might be more rounded at the edges.
So the band Alton's been around for a long time. We talk about Irish music, great Irish music. They're one of the...
Alton is a name, like when you think of great Irish bands in this modern era, as it were, you think the Chieftains, you think Planxty, Bothy Band, Dedannan, and Alton definitely deserves to be mentioned in that company and near the top of that list. They're mostly from the north of Ireland, and they've really taken a fairly local type of music, which is Donegal music, which is where a lot of them spent their summers or are from originally, in the northwesternmost part of Ireland. And they've made it very accessible to people, where it's not always accessible. It's very driven, it's very Scottish sounding, even though it's from Ireland. And yet they've brought a real fire to it.
Pick me a cut.
Okay, this track here has the first tune, which we'll hear, is called Is the Big Man Within. It's got an unusual title. It's an unusual tune. It's a 9/8 tune. It has three extra beats in the first part than it would in the second part. So it goes from a 9 to a 6.
It's a little
but this tune jumps back and forth, which no other tune does that I'm aware of.
Good.
Thank you.
Some unusual sounds going on there, Myron. What do we have?
Well, we have, of course, we have two fiddles in the band. We have a bouzouki, which is a Greek borrow, but is very popular in Irish music, tuned like a mandolin. So imagine a long-necked mandolin.
A recent addition to the Irish
Relatively scene, recent. Yeah. In the last 30, 40 years. A guitar, we have percussion. But then you heard a piper come in there, and that wasn't an Irish piper. That was a Carlos Nunez, who's toured with the Chieftains. And he's actually from Galicia, which is the Celtic region of Spain. So he's playing a Spanish-style Galician pipes. And it, to me, it fits well there, but there's cross-cultural.
Yeah. Gus, you have a band, a British band, that uses lots of different textures. Who's that?
Bellowhead have pretty much a full brass section, four violins, a cello occasionally, what they call tuned percussion, as well as a drum kit, melodeon, and a mandolin as well. The two leads are actually people we heard earlier backing up Eliza Carthy, John Bowden and John, I think Spires is how you say his name. John Bowden's on fiddle and Spires is on melodeon. And they sort of came out and blew everyone away, sort of changed a lot of people's views about it.
So the idea of putting brass into this traditional music, let's hear it. I'm really curious. Whoa.
Double whoa.
That's good. And this is Bellowhead.
Yeah. One word.
Yeah, that's great. I think adding, and when you see a lot of these traditional bands, I mean, the first time I saw Steel Eye Span was what got me completely hooked. I mean, I liked this British and Irish folk music before, but when I saw a band full throttle with electric guitars and a full drum kit,
it all clicked.
It really did. It's like, this works. You've got, Myron, for us, a band driven by percussion as well. What are we going to play for us?
The man who made the album is Cathal McConnell, who's from County Fermanagh in the north of Ireland. And Cathal McConnell is known to most people on this side of the ocean and really worldwide as the one remaining original member of the Boys of the Lock. And everyone else in the band has come in since Cathal, and they're still very much a vibrant band, but he was there at the beginning. And he's known as a great flute player, a great whistle player, and also a great singer. And he's singing a very traditional song here, but the rhythm section on it, which, number one, you wouldn't, in a traditional song setting, you wouldn't even use the words rhythm section. It wouldn't be there. It would be unaccompanied or very simple accompaniment at most. Well, this album he made is called Long Expectant Come at Last, and it was recorded in the studios of WBAI in New York. Not a live album, but recorded in their studios. Cathal McConnell here singing a song, The Bonnie Wee Lass of the Glen, which actually has a tune not unlike one that Steel Eye used for a song they did on an early album called A Calling On Song. On this track, Richard Thompson on guitar and Dave Maddox on drums.
And Dave Maddox, famously known for Fairport Convention.
And one of the great drummers in the English folk rock tradition.
Absolutely.
Backing up Cathal McConnell on a very nice traditional song, but the backing gives it a whole different flavor. So The Bonnie Wee Lass of the Glen.
She dwells at the foot of Knocklin, in a valley that's fertile and green, by the side of a Mormoran river that flows through the townland called Breen, where the blackbird and thrush loudly whistle and the cuckoo her notes do extend, and with music the whole valley's ringing, for to please the wee lass o' the glen. Oh, Jimmy, she says, do not tease me. Oh, your talk, oh, why would you give o'er? Your flattering tongue does not please me, for it has deceived numbers before. And besides, I'm e'er young for to marry. My age had been scarce 5 and 10. Aye, and that was the answer I got from the bonny wee lass o' the glen.
And we were thinking, and I was talking about the Fairport Convention, there's probably no song better known to anyone who's listened to rock music that's traditional than John Barleycorn. Yeah, would that be a fair...
It's a song that comes up. I think it's been covered by virtually everyone.
Right, and
so
you know, the band Traffic was the most famously did this story of John Barleycorn, which people will know that one song, that one Harvest song, right? Let's go out, Gus Voorhees, on one last tune here. What do you have for us?
A version of John Barleycorn done by Tim Van Eyken, who's accordion player and guitarist, who's worked for the last 7 years with Waterston Carthy, which is Martin Carthy and Norma Waterston, Eliza Carthy's little group.
I'm hearing a lot of great music. It's a tradition fairly well alive in the clubs and the exchange of music between players.
Oh, thriving. Not only thanks to technology, where people with a decent home computer system and a couple instruments can make an album, which has a good and a bad side. You want to be qualified and have the musical chops, so to speak. Yeah. But it's very accessible these days. Back in the day when I was starting to play and broadcast this music, you'd go 6 months waiting for the next album to come out, and you'd pounce on it. You were hungry for this stuff. Yeah. And now it's just everywhere, and business is great, and the exposure's great.
And the playing's great.
The playing's great.
The music instrument makers are pretty great.
They're thriving.
Talking about the accordion players.
The standard is a lot higher, I would argue. And just also a sidebar to that is that you might notice from my name, which you didn't say to your listeners yet, I'm not from the Irish or British tradition. Brett Holtz is 100%, you know, Hebrew national. But luckily, there aren't any barriers to people who aren't from that gene pool, so to speak, or that part of the world, getting into it. And I've never felt put out by the fact that I didn't happen to be born in Ireland or Great Britain or anywhere. And it's available to anyone who wants to play it and enjoy it. That's the beauty of it. No matter what age you are, no matter whether, you know, it's universal.
That's great. Gus Voorhees, thanks for putting this together. This has been wonderful. And
thanks,
Myron,
for letting me do it.
Thanks for
Bob,
doing this.
Pleasure, Gus.
Good to see you again.
Pleasure.
Let's go out on Tim Van Eyken's version of John Barleycorn. He just calls Barleycorn. You can hear the full versions of all these songs online at our website. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.
And the sun shone warm and the wind blew soft, and it rained in a day or so, and Barleycorn fell the wind and rain, and he soon began to grow. And the rye began to grow as well, and the rye grew quickly tall, and Barleycorn grew short and stout, and he so amazed them all. So they hired men with sickles to cut him off at the knee, and worse than that, John Barleycorn
they served him barbarously. For they hired men with pitchforks to toss him onto the load. When they tossed John Barleycorn, they tied him down with cords. And they hired men with thresholds to beat him high and low. They came smack smack on poor Jack's back till the flesh began to flow. So they put him into the kiln, him to dry his bones. And when he came out, John Barleycorn was crushed between two stones. And they put him into the mashing tub, thinking to burn his tail. And when he came out, John Barleycorn, they called him Homebrew.